back, WNST, Towson, Baltimore, and Baltimore Positive. All of our Wise conversations brought to you, of course, by our friends at Wise Markets. It is ice cream month. They've got me trying the T-Berry ice cream here later on in the month. And certainly with the hot heat outside, cooling off and a little ice cream is perfect. And it's also Chicken Palooza for our friends at Royal Farms. I'm heading out on the road for the Maryland Crab Cake Tour beginning August 1st. We have Stuart Pittman at G&M down in Anne Arundel County, which is where I think this story began. This is not a happy story. I mean, a lot of times we do Baltimore Positive around here, but when tragedy happens, we try to pay it forward and pass it forward to make sure it doesn't happen again. Carol Stern joins us now as part of our ongoing author series around here and people with stories to tell. Carol had a book out. I was going to have her on last month. The book's out this month. It's out selling right now on Amazon, and it's quite a tale. And Carol, first things first, welcome in. Happy summer. I hope you're being cool out there wherever you are. You're down in the Outer Banks these days, right?
Yes, I am. Thank you for having me on this show, by the way. And yeah, it's pretty warm down here.
Yeah, well, this is a local story, but I think this is something that, you know, my wife's a two-time leukemia survivor, and, you know, thankfully she spent a long time in Hopkins. It really made me rethink my life back in 2014. This is my 30th year doing sports radio, and I guess I was 22, 23 years into my career, and I'm sitting at my wife's bedside for 155 nights watching doctors and nurses put all sorts of drugs and chemo and chemicals and things and blood and all of these things that happen, and I thought about all the things that could go wrong and whether she would live or whether she would die and whether that would be, everything would have to go perfect for her to live. She had two bone marrow transplants. And I think about the tragedies that happen and unfold in any given hospital and insurance and lawyers and all of these things. Boy, your story here, I'll allow you to tell it. I know it's difficult to tell, but it's not something anybody would ever want to have happen to them. And I think this is one of the reasons you're out telling the story. It's a tale of caution.
Yes, it is. Is your wife okay now?
My wife's beautiful. Yeah, she's hiking mountains with her sister in New Hampshire this week. She's fine.
Well, that's great.
Thanks for asking.
Hopkins is a really good hospital. It wasn't the best hospital for my husband because of his condition, but it is a very good hospital. How do I even get started? I'm wanting this book to be a guide to advocates, to everyone out there on what to look for, what to ask, so that it doesn't happen to them the way it happened to my husband. And I made mistakes at the beginning by listening to doctors that made mistakes, and that's okay. It's okay for a human being to make a mistake. It's not okay to try and cover it up and keep going. And that's what the two hospitals did. Instead of saying, okay, this is what happened, they tried to cover it up. And there were red flags, and I wasn't paying attention. And I really don't want this to happen to other people.
Well, let's talk diagnosis and start the story. You're not from this area, but you met a man from this area, fell in love, and got married. Like my wife and I fell in love in 2003 at a hockey game.
Oh, a hockey game.
Yeah.
I love hockey games. They're pretty tough. Yes, I met my husband, Gary, at the Cancun Candina. I love to line dance and country bar. It was our cheers. And everything was perfect for us. Now, my husband had a pre-existing condition of Crohn's disease. And in 2000, he went to a doctor and they gave him Remicade and they did a small surgery. And he said it was a miracle cure because he didn't have any flare up. He didn't have any problems with his Crohn's for 11 years. And he got sick in 2011 and we didn't have insurance. And he was taken to the hospital by ambulance. The doctors did some tests and they were inconclusive, but instead of doing more tests, they made an assumption that it was his Crohn's. It wasn't. They kept giving him medication. They gave him prednisone and Toradol, which if it was Crohn's, that's great. But it wasn't. And it, what it did was it made his condition worse. Because we didn't have the insurance after the fourth day, the doctor came in, big red flag, by the way, when he said, we're going to send you home and you need to do something about being a self-paid patient. Like, okay, sending us home because we don't have insurance. That's what went through my mind, but I went along with it. He got even sicker because I was giving him the medicine at home. He ended up back in the hospital. There again, they assumed it was his Crohn's. So they kept treating him with IV medication, which was making his condition worse. They didn't know what to do, apparently, so they called in a surgeon. The surgeon did an exploratory and didn't see anything wrong at first. So he was like, well, it's Crohn's. Let's cut into your intestine. Don't do that. He did that. It started a reaction, a snowball effect, mind you, that it was, it couldn't be stopped. He ended up back in the OR 5 days later, after he had bled out in the room all over the place. At the end of the second surgery, they realized it was an ulcer. His Crohn's wasn't inflamed. He had an ulcer. And so they started treating him for it, but they kept treating him for the Crohn's because they were covering things. I don't know. I'm assuming it was because they were covering things up, but it's not really good to assume. The doctors started coming up to me, shoving their shoulders at me. After his third surgery, we don't know what to do. He's dying and we can't stop it. I know what to do. My husband's not going to die. So I Googled best place to get him. So I told the doctors I want him transferred to the University of Maryland, which there's excellent physicians there. There's excellent staff there. But the damage has been done. My husband, they had surgeries. They sent him home for a while to recoup. Mind you, by this time, my husband's abdomen was wide open for everyone to see his intestines. He had fistulas, which are basically holes and pockets that don't belong. He ended up becoming septic. So I had a fistula bag over him. And I'm sorry to say this, but it is what it is. He didn't go to the bathroom the way we did. His intestines would just take care of it on his stomach. And he lived for the first 3.5 years with nothing but IV CPN, which is nutrition, through an IV line. Nothing could go into his abdomen. Nothing could go into his stomach. And he was in
and obviously you had no insurance at this point, right? And I guess as far as representation to correct anything, I mean, this went on for 3.5 years, huh?
No, it went on longer than that. But we did not have insurance. After he was at the second hospital, I started the process to get him disabled. And after I got him home, and I was still working on it, taking care of him, I ended up getting him home because a pharmaceutical company from Baltimore was willing to take care of the TPN and every other IV medication, knowing that the possibility that they were not going to get paid, which is Equinox Pharmacy.
When this is happening and you sense that you may have a lawsuit, right? I mean, while he's alive, did that occur to you then?
Not then, no. The lawsuit didn't come into play until many years later. And the lawsuit was really for Gary. He wanted it. I was more concerned about keeping him alive and getting him disability. And when I got him home and his abdomen was open and he was in a hospital bed, I got a letter from our government saying, at this point in time, we cannot deem him disabled. Which kind of made me mad. because here I am looking at his intestines. He can't move. He's thirsty. I can't give my husband 4 ounces of water. I cannot give him anything to quench his thirst. And yet they're telling me he's too stable.
Did you find any support at all? I mean, through the hospital, I just with my wife at Hopkins, and, you know, I'm not going to bag on Hopkins. They saved my wife's life, but there was not sort of patient advocacy that I would have preferred to have seen. I mean, I saw awful things in the hospital from the food they give patients. Like, I could sit here and complain about it. My wife's alive, right? I think it's very different on your end and for what you've been through, but I'm just thinking through these times, where are the resources to try to fix it?
Oh, there's definitely patient advocates in the hospital, but they're not really patient advocates. They're hospital advocates. They're not there to protect the patient. They're there to protect the hospitals from getting sued. I became my husband's advocate, and you see it in every hospital. My husband was in probably 20 different hospitals by the time it was all said and done. And they were all the same. They all make mistakes. Things are going to happen in hospitals. And all the patient advocates are the same. They're going to be nice to your face, but they're not going to protect my husband. I needed to protect my husband. I needed to make sure that any doctor that came into the room, they examined my husband, not a computer, which they're really good at doing. They did not call him, you know, a patient. They did not call him Mr. Stern. His name's Gary. And he will be treated as a human being. And I made sure of that. And if they didn't like it, I didn't care who they were. I threw them out of the room. Because that's what you need to do. The most important person in a room, in a hospital room, isn't a doctor, isn't a CEO. It's the patient, who's a human being. Your wife, she was the most important person in that room. You did not want them coming in there looking at a computer saying, oh, I see your white count.
Well, you know, it's funny talking to you about this because it does bring back sort of the inner maniac in me that every morning on rounds, I mean, I spent a long, long stretch in the hospital with my wife. So, and watching janitorial staff, food staff, people come in when she was neutropenic and weighed 90 pounds and was basically in a coma. I remember that feeling, that seat that you're in, you know, that you're like germs out, dirt out, temperature, you know, things that are going to make her sick. Light was making her sick at one point and they were shutting the lights on. So like there were just lots of things I did as an advocate next to her because she couldn't advocate for herself. So Carol Stern is here. The book is Ripped Apart, Living Misdiagnosed. I have not even given the book title, written by David Black, who's an award-winning journalist. An honest book about the American healthcare and a love that knows no boundaries, not even death. Carol, you lost your husband in 2016. So I guess it's been 5 years now, correct?
Yes.
The book and the aftermath of losing him, obviously you were, you've given us the story of what happened as far as a misdiagnosis and a mistreatment, right? What happened after his death?
Can I do one little correction for you?
Sure.
I didn't lose my husband.
I'm sorry.
My husband, I did not lose my husband. My husband is not physically here with me, but my husband will always be here.
Understood.
I'm very passionate about that. And so I'm sorry to correct that. After he died, my husband wanted his story told. He wanted his day in court, which he got, and he wanted his story told. He'd be watching Honey Boo Boo on TV saying, why are they talking about her? They should be talking about this. And I made him a promise. They will know your story. And it's going to help somebody. It's going to do what it needs to do. And
what's the cautionary tale? What would your message be right now if I were diagnosed to my wife, if she had to come to the hospital with me?
Ask questions. don't let doctors talk down to you. They're not the important one. You've got to feel for the doctors. They're a human being. If they're treating you or whoever's in that bed not as the most important person, then you need to get another doctor. You need to Google everything that's wrong and every single part of what the condition is. If a doctor tells you that you've got a broken toe, well, you want to know how to fix the toe. You want to know how long it's going to take and what needs to be done for it, how long they need to be off. It doesn't matter what the condition. You need as much knowledge as you can get to help whoever is in that bed. And that's the only way I was able to keep my husband alive for 5 years the way he was.
You've started a charity called Angels Advocate. Tell us a little bit about that. I know you're going to be signing books here soon. The book is out. You can purchase the book at Amazon. Carol, Angels Advocate, and I guess you know this is what you're trying to do moving forward. In that, if this happens, I use the word advocacy. Did you have an advocate? You're trying to become an advocate at this point.
Yes, and we're still working on it. It's on the ground floor. We have not gotten everything stabilized with it. What I really wanted to do is help the patient or whoever it is, their advocate, so that they don't have to do everything that I had to do, so that they could do what's really important, which is spend time with their loved ones. If they need to find out why they were denied disability, well, I made all the calls to all the state senators, all the governor, congressman, the White House. We will do that for you and find out what's going on. Why is it taking so long? If there's a medication that the doctors were wondering about, we'll research it and give you all the information on it. If you need a pharmaceutical company that will deliver to your house to get your loved one home, we will help you with that. The hospital advocates will do that, the case manager. But there's a lot of things they don't know. At one point, they wanted to send my husband home, but he needed pain medication, IV pain medication. And they're like, well, no, we don't do that. Hospice will only allow pain medication or TPN. You can't have both. They had no idea that there's a palliative care that does both. You can be on a type of hospice and still get the help you need to get your patient, to get the patient better. A lot of hospitals don't know that.
Well, it's so many things you learn the hard way, because I don't think anybody's prepared to, you know, have their spouse ill in the way that both of us had that happen. And I don't know that anybody's really equipped. I mean, you need professional advice, professional help in regard to all of it, in regard to the doctor part, the insurance part, the medicine part, all of it. And I appreciate you telling the story. I certainly sense some sympathy and some love your way for all that you've been through. And people are always concerned about my wife. I said, be more concerned about the people that aren't doing well. And I hope your book does well. I hope your story gets out, and I hope it does help someone else, Carol.
And yeah, I really hope it helps people, and that way I'm still helping my husband.
Well, it happens every day, and it's very, very unfortunate in America, and people don't know where to reach. So the book is Ripped Apart, Living Misdiagnosed. Carol Stern's a warrior here talking about her husband, Gary, and they met at the Cancun Cantina. So it is a Baltimore love story. I was not much of a line dancer, Carol. You know, I had friends that went down there. My high school friend Anthony used to teach lessons down there, and I'd see all the pictures and stuff in early Facebook, and I'm rock and roll. I'm a Hammer Jacks guy, Carol, so that's what I could say. Good luck to you and the book. I know you're signing down in Alexandria. We'll send everybody out to buy the book and find you as well. And peace to you down there in North Carolina, area of the world we love down in the Outer Banks as well.
Go line dance with the cantina. You'll have fun.
Go get some custard down there at Kill Devil Hills for me. All right. Send some up here. Don't let it melt for me. Carol Stern, our guest here, you can go find the book, and I'm going to put a link out on social media on the backside for Ripped Apart, Living Misdiagnosed. I am Nestor. We are WNST AM 1570. We're in a little respite from sports here in July, getting up on the Ravens next month and the Maryland Crab Cake Tour, taking me from Ocean City out to Deep Creek Lake, doing all sorts of crazy things that I will be documenting on social media. At some point, I may catch a trout before the whole thing's over. We are WNST, AM 1570, Towson, Baltimore, and we never stop talking. Baltimore, positive.